I have mentioned in previous homilies the writings of C.S. Lewis, especially his children's series called The Chronicles of Narnia. The seventh book is called The Last Battle. And in this book, three of the central characters, Peter, Lucy, and Edmund, are really killed in England in a train accident. Lewis, with concise and vivid prose, puts their deaths into a greater perspective, the perspective of heaven and eternity, when, in his very Lewis way, says the following: all their life in this world and all of their adventures had only been the cover, the title page. Now, at last, was the beginning of chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Well, I read that many years ago for the first time, and this has always captured my imagination. I think Lewis reminds us here of something very important, that all that we experience in this world is only the beginning of the great story. That what will unfold in the world that is beyond this world is unimaginable. So I want to think with you this afternoon, though, about the following. What kind of great story is this? Is it a tragedy or is it a comedy? Is the great story a tragedy or a comedy? If you studied Shakespeare, tragedies always end with the death of the main characters. A Shakespearean comedy always ends with a wedding and a marriage. So what is the great story? Is it a tragedy or is it a comedy? And this is not only the story played out in our respective lives, but it's how the story of God's presence amongst us intersects with our stories. And in light of what Lewis says, to think of the 73 books of the Bible as, so to speak, only being the title page, only being the cover. But when we look at this story, this beautiful story, these 73 books, we discover that we are indeed participating in the divine comedy. Not only does the Bible begin with a wedding in Genesis chapter 2, but the second to last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, here is a wedding worth observing. St. John says, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." The great story is ultimately a love story. It begins with God creating a universe, and then in the heart of that story, the creation of man and woman. And the Bible ends with the greatest marriage of all, Jesus marrying his bride, the church. Now let's think about this for a moment. Back in Genesis chapter 2, Adam is formed out of the dust. And then once Adam has been created, out of his side is formed the bride of Adam, his wife, Eve. And he says, "This is at last bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman." Well, what happens to Jesus on the cross? From his side is born his bride, the church. For out flows the water of baptism. Out flows the blood of the Eucharist. And we have here an understanding that is at the heart of the whole of the biblical story, that we are in a comedy. We are in a story that has as its climax the bride being ready to be received by her lover, Jesus, the husband. Now, this marriage, it will not be consummated until the second coming of Jesus Christ, when all of those in heaven will be joined with those still on earth. And St. John has an understanding of this in today's passage from Revelation when he said the following: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." This is a beautiful image. The new heaven and the new earth are now going to be married together. They will be one. The sea will be no more. The first order of things will have passed away. But from where we are now, this is not so. Heaven and earth are not united. They are not one. And that is because the world in its current configuration is under the domain of the devil. We know this because back in Revelation chapter 12, we hear about the great battle in heaven. And at the climax of this battle are these words: "The great dragon was throwing down that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Now, here's an important thing. As you continue to read in the book of Revelation from this point on, the sea is always the place from which evil creatures come. The sea is not a Club Med holiday. You do not want to go into those waters. And it's out of the sea that these creatures come and they wreak havoc on the earth. Indeed, if you were to read Revelation chapters 13 to 18, you'd say, we are in trouble. This is no comedy. We are in a tragedy. Everyone is going to be killed. But then the amazing thing happens. You get to chapter 19, listen. Listen, those sound like wedding bells. They're beginning to ring. Because in chapter 19, we have this beautiful description of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And by the time we get to chapter 21, those bells are pealing and you can hear them ringing and ringing and ringing. There is the new heaven. There is the new earth. There's a bride. There is a bridegroom. And here's the deal. There is no more sea. In other words, the realm of evil will no longer exist. Heaven and earth will then be joined together. Such a world will be one where there is true harmony, where there is perfect unity. It will be characterized as the marriage that will be truly blissful. Check out this language. Here is St. John. This is the vision he's given. "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first order of things has passed away." That is not a tragedy. That is the divine comedy. It was because C.S. Lewis understood this so well in his Christian-formed imagination that he could say, those children were now at that point of chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever and ever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Beloved, we live in a fairy tale. But this is the fairy tale of God's making. And it is the story that is the story beyond all stories. Because of our baptism, because of our participation in the Eucharist, because we place our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ, we are living in a comedy. We are not living in a tragedy. Now, that being said, there are times when our present experience of life has more of the character of a tragedy, and we think that's where we are. You read through parts of the book of Revelation, you think you're in a tragedy as well. That's why you've got to read the ending. Because it's only the ending that will tell you whether or not it is a comedy or whether or not it is a tragedy. Thankfully, God in his grace and mercy has given us such a clear indication of how the story in this world will come to its conclusion, so that we will then enter into the other part of the story where it will get better and better and better. But because we live between the time of Jesus' first coming and between the wedding in Revelation 21, we have a certain way in which we are to live these present lives as we love the bridegroom, Jesus. It means that in the present, our lives are to be marked by the kind of love that will be fully present in heaven. So this is why Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, here's the thing I want to bring to mind about this. Jesus says these words right after Judas Iscariot has gone out. St. John tells us, "And it was night." And then Jesus goes on to say, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and the Father is glorified in him." And then he says, "A new commandment I give you, that you are to love one another." Here's the thing. Judas Iscariot thought he was in a tragedy. He didn't realize that he was in a comedy. And sadly, there are people today who will come to the conclusion that it is a tragedy, that there is no comedy. And that's how they will live their lives. And the decisions they make, what motivates them, will be motivated by that reality. Think of what Judas does. A few hours later, he will come back with the temple guards, and then he will disingenuously kiss Jesus, kisses him. There is a parody, if ever there was one. And with this kiss, it is actually the kiss of death for both Judas and for Jesus. Here, at that time, when all seemed to be most likely leading to the conclusion, yep, this is a tragedy, Jesus says, no, it's not. This is a comedy. This is a love story. It is not a hate story. But each one of us, we have a choice every day of our lives as to how we are going to live. Will we just throw up our hands and say, it's a tragedy, I'm not going to even try? Or will we recognize that because we are in God's comedy, we are called to love one another as Jesus has loved us? And we live out this commandment in our families, in our places of work, in recreational venues, in the church, wherever it is we find ourselves, that we are to be a people who, in following in the way of Jesus Christ, are learning what it is to live lives of service, to live lives of forgiveness, and to live as Jesus lived. We cannot comprehend the challenge of this commandment until we grasp the depths of Jesus' love for us. And so I ask you, do you know in the soul, in the very core of your being, the love of the bridegroom? Do you know that you are his bride? Do you know that he is desiring you, both for now and for all of eternity? And that this commandment to love one another encompasses all of the other commandments and everything else the Holy Scripture says. In loving one another, in seeking out what is best for the beloved, we are in the present saying, I choose to live in the comedy and not in the tragedy. And it is only as we understand this that your story is not some dislocated, separated, individual kind of thing happening, but that when you understand that your story is part of this great comedy where the new commandment is what is to motivate us to live, then we will understand what St. John of the Cross meant when he said, at the evening of your life, you will be judged on your love. At the evening of your life, you will be judged on your love. On Judgment Day, will it be more important to be able to say how smart you were, how many promotions you received, how much overtime you worked, how many committees you served on? Or, on Judgment Day, will this be the most important criteria? How well have you loved those God has put in your life? That's it. Why? Because it's a comedy. It's a love song. It is a love story. You see, we are part of the great story. We are part of the divine comedy, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. The Bible, from its beginning to its end, and in its very middle, has a love song. It's the most erotic love poem ever written. It's called the Song of Solomon. And what's so interesting about this song is that the lover's relationship is never consummated in the song. It's because the song anticipates Revelation 21, the new heaven, the new earth, the bride being made ready for the bridegroom. This is why we come to Mass on a weekend. This is why our faith matters, so that we remember who we are, we remember where we are, and we know what kind of story we are in. Let us pray. Lord God, our strength and salvation, put in us the flame of your love and make our love for you grow to a perfect love which reaches out to our neighbor. Amen.